episode. We're back. And we've got former Argo McLeod, Bethel Thompson on the show. I don't think I need to say any more. Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. We are powered by Spotify for podcasters, formerly Anchor.fm, but you can still get us at Anchor.fm/Argos Fancast. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is a VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. On Twitter, you can find me at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com. And the only question I have right now, is it June?
And from the Double Blue Mortal, Sir Douglas of House Ballant, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Man, I never thought in my wildest dreams on this, on our pokey little podcast, that we would actually get either a current or former starting Argos quarterback. Wow. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519 while it's still not on fire. You can also find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And you can also find... we got merch still available, even still for the tiniest little bit of limited time. The Law Firm t-shirt is still available at doubleblueorder.ca.
I don't think we'll have to keep that t-shirt up there just for the Breakers fans.
I'm beginning to think so, yeah.
I mean, we are now Breakers fans.
I mean, at least they're double blue, so we can give them that much.
Yeah.
So if we end up going to a game, right, we won't be out of place if you wear an you won't be out of place if you wear an Argo jersey.
No. I haven't seen what their jerseys are going to look like, but, you know, it'll be pretty
cool. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. They haven't. They don't. Well, Wikipedia doesn't have the.
I have no clue.
I'm going to look that up. You guys keep going.
I think they haven't failed there. And they're a very appropriate color for McLeod to be wearing.
We should have. Yeah. That's, you know,
not much of a. Probably more closer to Argo jerseys than what the Argos currently wear.
Ouch.
Just saying, change the uniform, guys.
Hey, that might be coming now. Hang on.
You're right. But they're nice. I gotta say, you know, they're...
Ooh, yeah, I just had a look. Ooh.
Yeah, they actually are pretty nice.
Ooh, that's sharp. And reasonably priced, too.
Well, I mean, without further ado, we need to bring on now New Orleans Breakers quarterback and former Toronto Argonauts quarterback, McLeod Bethel Thompson, a.k.a. Law Firm. Two-time Grey Cup champion, fourth all-time in passing, third all-time in completions, and fifth all-time in touchdowns. McLeod, thank you for joining us. And just want to start off with your time with the Argos. I mean, you came up to Canada. It was kind of almost a stepping stone to try to get back to the NFL initially. But you stayed up here. You kind of really made a home up here. What was your impression of the game and the fans up here in Toronto?
Well, first of all, the game and the fans are fantastic. You know, it's a beautiful game, long storied history. The game is fantastic. You know, it's a beautifully crafted game. It's different than the American game, so some people are off-put by it, but it's beautifully crafted. Rules are amazing. Everything about the game is really fantastic, really challenging game, great for quarterbacks. And, you know, I love my time up there. I love the game of the Canadian football, you know, so I'm very appreciative. It was five great years, two championships, and it taught me so much about myself and how my inner fortitude, you know, I can be process oriented rather than results oriented. It just taught me so much about the game of football, so much about brotherhood. And I'm very appreciative.
You've always kind of said, you know, this is everything's kind of a journey. And I want to know kind of what you learned about your game when you're up here. And you seem to kind of really develop a very strong leadership style up here.
Yeah, you know, when I first came up, I was playing really, really well, really good football when I first came up. And I learned from Ricky Gray, and I was really shredding the game early. And then I really got in my head, you know, years two and three. Try to put a container on my game. And once I let go of those shackles and really knew that the way I could play quarterback best is by being authentically myself and being comfortable in my own shoes, then my game started to unfurl there for, you know, on the back end of that. So I really struggled there for a couple of years trying to figure out who I was as a quarterback and who I was as a person. And then it kind of, you know, once I let go of those shackles, I started to play well again and really enjoyed my last 3 years of playing ball up there. And yeah, it's definitely, it's you know, leadership is different for everyone. It's not a stagnant thing. It's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. And so you to lead teams and to lead men authentically, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to know who you are and know how to authentically represent yourself. And then you have to set a standard, and you have to set a really high standard for yourself and try to bring everyone along to that standard while maintaining that pillar for an entire team and organization kind of swing around. So that was an evolving thing as well. And Vivian took pride in the fact that I was given the keys one time in the CFL, you know, one season where, you know, began the season as a starter and ended the season as a starter, and we won a championship. And that was really validating, not just me as a player, but how I operate as a person, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a sister, as a son, you know. So really appreciative for the game. Taught me a lot about it, and it taught me about who I was as a person.
The decision to sign with New Orleans, I've noted there, four of your teammates are former CFLers themselves. Was that an important factor in your decision, having some teammates you have familiarity with?
No, first and foremost, it was about family, you know, being close to my daughter. My daughter and my wife are here during camp. We're close to Atlanta where my wife has tons of work. And that was the number one thing, is that I get to see my daughter every day, especially even through camp, but definitely through the season. Spending hours with her at a time was the paramount decision. And then it was about giving it a shot one last time in 11-on-11 football and see how high I can get, you know. I throw with a lot of guys, and I play in that other league down here. And, you know, I know I can throw with them. It's about opportunity, right time, right place, and we'll see. But for now, I'm just excited to work with John DeFilippo, who knows me from the Eagles, and he's an offensive mind, and excited to play with young guys that are going to push me and make me be on my toes and be at my best and see how good I can play this game.
One of the things that, you know, we've kind of seen in a few of the articles that were written about you, you've had a few nicknames here or there, you know, Macbeth being one of the bigger ones. I wanted to introduce you to one that we came up with pretty early on in your tenure. It was about when we heard what your full name was, McLeod, John Balthazar, Bethel Thompson. And I thought, I'm like, man, that sounds like a law firm. So so throughout the history of our show, you've now been known as Law Firm, and we've even got some T-shirts made for you.
I love it. You guys are the guys. I'm a big fan. My wife's a big fan of the shirt. So we'd love to get one of those and sign it for you. And sure, the more nicknames, the better. It means I'm still being talked about and still relevant. So I love it.
You were up here for 5 years. You'd have to develop some really deep ties here. But what were some of your favorite things that you liked about this city up here?
Oh man, I love Toronto. I love the food in Toronto. I love the people in Toronto. I mean, Toronto in the summer has got to be a top five North American city for sure. Just great food, great people. Always something going on. I love the culture, love the festivals throughout the summer. You know, it's just a, it's a beautiful city with a beautiful spirit, and people are proud to be Torontonian. So I really enjoyed my time in Toronto, and I hope I visit again in the future.
McLeod, I know we all know that you put out a very touching sort of statement on Twitter. We're pretty much going to give you the floor to talk we're going to give you the floor here to talk to Argo fans right now. If you got anything to say to Argo fans,
just keep cheering, man, and keep bringing people out to the game. You don't know how much it means to have people in the stands that are authentically and cheering for you who you are. So come out to the BMO. It's the best. I keep telling everybody it's the best place to play in CFL. And when you guys, 18,000 fans, 15,000 fans, 12,000 fans at BMO can sound like 30. Imagine if we packed that place out. So just cheer positively. I'm appreciative of my entire time there. The criticism, the praise, everything in between. It's a special place to play, and it's the oldest team in North America, man. There's a lineage there that is special. It's in the grass. It's in the air. There's a lot of people put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that organization. So fans included, you guys are a part of that. So, keep packing that stadium. Keep cheering as best as you can. And it's just the more you bring out, the more you bring to the game, the players will respond. And I'm very appreciative and I'm thankful for it all.
All right, we know your time is limited with us right now, but the last thing I want to say is I want to extend the invitation to come up to see an Argo game with the fans sometime and come out to the tailgate and really enjoy that whole side, because, I mean, you've enjoyed the player side, but you haven't had the chance to enjoy the fan side with the Argos. I really would love to see you up here, and anytime you want to come up, let us know. We'll make you and your family at home at the tailgate.
That sounds awesome. I would definitely jump at that opportunity. Life moves fast, and I don't know when I'll be back up, but I do hope that's a possibility, and I look forward to it. I'll definitely hit you up when I do.
All right. Thank you very much for giving us some of your time, and good luck with the New Orleans Breakers.
Thank you so much. All the best.
All right.
Thank you, McLeod, for everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. And that was McLeod Bethel Thompson. Probably one of our biggest guests so far.
The biggest guest I think we've had so far.
I mean, the fact that we created a t-shirt for him probably means he's our biggest guest, at least as far as, how well the show is run. Great talking to him. I know we had some phone issues there, but great guy.
The guy wore the A and the boat on his sleeve for 5 years. And I admit at the beginning, I didn't appreciate him at times. I'll be fully honest about that. But, as time went on, you saw this guy was the real deal. His teammates loved him. And ultimately, he led us back to the pedestal.
One thing that I always say is that if you play for the name on the front, we'll remember the name on the back.
Yep.
He put everything he could into the name on the front. So we as a fan base should
absolutely
remember the name that was on the back.
I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but he did say he and his wife were fans of the shirt.
Yeah.
So he did see it.
Yeah. You have no idea how big of a smile came across my face.
Well, though, Doug, we know that players were aware of the DBO t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah.
So
shout out Bear Woods.
Sean Lemon too, and the Golden Derby knew about it. So,
well, we'll definitely have to get Tim and his family some T-shirts and get them down to them so he can have them for his collection.
I know the exact timing too. I know exactly when to do it. Like, who needs to mail it, right? Because I fully intend at this point they will the closest breakers come is going to be May 21st at noon against Philadelphia, and they're playing at Ford Field. 2-4 weekend, they'll be the closest they're going to be is Ford Field. It's general admission tickets.
The 21st, a Saturday or Sunday?
That's a Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday at noon.
It's interesting because, I mean, already being we're already in Guelph on this Saturday to watch training camp, perhaps.
Go see the team. Go say the players, hey, we're gonna go see McLeod. I'm gonna go see McLeod tomorrow. Do you want me to bring anything? Do you want to bring a care package for him or something?
Well, we talked a little bit about free agency when it first got going. Actually, before free agency, so we haven't really talked about anything of the Argos signing since. Well, they've been kind of busy.
They're very busy.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start here. We've got, coming back, Markieff Ambles. Let's see. What do we get? I'm just trying to go through and see the timelines these guys signed.
Are we talking about re-signings or new signings?
Oh, both.
Both? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Well, yeah. Well, Curley, we know Curley extended.
Yeah. I think we already.
Deveris Daniels is back.
Yep. We had pretty much right up to the stuff on stuff that happened after February 7th. So I'm just going down. We've got. Re-signed, we've got A.J. Willette.
Which I know I think he's the next one we got to make a shirt for.
Yep. Enoch Mwamba's coming back.
Enoch stay.
What else we have here?
Andrew Harris made his signing official.
Yep.
Yeah.
Andrew Harris is officially back in the fold. And yeah, I said Markieff Ambles, and God, I wish they could just put together a list of who we signed.
Well, I got a list here.
Okay.
So I think that's one thing that kind of grinds my gears about the CFL and their transaction page. It's got to be a little more user friendly.
Well,
yeah.
Please, guys, come on! You're asking too much.
Well, okay, maybe you're right, but I mean, too busy trying to get Halifax up and running.
Oh, and we'll have to talk about some
about that after. But let's keep going.
Yeah.
So the Argos signed Fullerin or Remolade from the Calgary Stampeders. He's one of the better young defensive ends in the CFL. The sack totals aren't necessarily evident yet, but I believe Derek Taylor said he was one of the longest most pressures in the league.
See, that's the thing, though. That's like I'm starting to appreciate the pressure as opposed to the sack. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, the sack. I mean, the pressure can do. You're right.
Yeah, because a lot of people, and some of my friends included, are too focused on
the actual stack.
On the actual sack, right? But thanks to us talking to Ben Grant and me kind of watching back the game sometimes, it's like the quarterback pressure is a stat that should be tracked in the CFL.
And they're starting to.
Because that is like, because I mean, it's huge, and and it's like, I'm starting to appreciate it a bit more.
Yeah. Anyway, force a QB to make this throw early. You know.
Or throw to the wrong target or whatever.
Yep. Exactly. So he'll line up opposite Robbie Smith, I imagine, with Mr. Oakman and Mr. Hendricks in the middle. And we have a nice little front four going.
And we also signed Thomas Costigan away from the Alouettes.
Yeah, it was another good, intriguing signing. And Sam Atchie upon. So, you know, you got a good rotation going there.
Yeah, we go. I think we've got a good, front four. We got a.
And then you add in some of the guys that they, at least a couple of the guys they've brought in.
For my favorite position.
Jared Brinkman.
Yeah. Jordan Williams is official. Yep. What else we got?
Darius Pickett.
Darius. Yes. The man who's the new hybrid.
Listen to our linebacking core of Winton McManus, Enoch Mwamba, Darius Pickett, and Jordan Williams. Throw in there Jonathan Jones, Trevor Hoyt, and Jack Desar. Pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's a front seven that I really, really like.
Yeah. It's important because I do have some, which we can get to a bit later, but I do have some questions about our secondary.
Yeah. We've got a few holes that might need to be filled.
I would say it's just more hypothetical, you know, if something doesn't, we can get to it.
Yeah. The other one that I thought kind of flew under the radar that I'm looking here is Darius Sirocco.
Yeah.
A nice utility offensive lineman who can play multiple positions there. With Philip Blake leaving, you know, we've Justin got another Lawrence guy. Leaving. Yep. I mean, Justin Lawrence, that one was kind of inevitable. You know, he was filling Peter Nicastro's spot, really.
Yeah.
And when Peter Nicastro became healthy again, Justin Lawrence was kind of, you know, expendable.
Question is, where does Darius fit in this lineup? I figure we know we have Dijon Allen and Darius Black will be the right tackle and right guard.
Yeah,
Nicastro, presuming he's going to be healthy, will line up at center.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Argos planning on maybe trying to move Ryan Hunter out to left tackle? But Kira, I can't pronounce his name.
Sirocco?
Sirocco at left guard. But then you also keep in mind that the Argos re-signed both Travon Tate and Isaiah Cage. So
And we still got Theron Churchill. We've still got Shane Richards.
So it's a bit of a numbers game there, but perhaps the Argos maybe want to start four Canadians on the line.
Yep, and that's definitely a possibility. But I mean, you, to be honest, you need that depth on the offensive line. You really do, and I think he's been a starter in this league for the most part of the last 4 years, and there are four seasons. So I don't think you can, you know, really go wrong with adding a good quality Canadian offensive lineman, really.
No, but I didn't. You're right. I didn't view it as a need necessarily.
You always need offensive linemen,
I suppose. You always need a long snapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to talk about this. I got to talk about the one we bring back.
Mm-hmm.
Dontrelle Inman's back in an Argo uniform.
There. Those of you who've been around the block a few times will remember that name.
And he hasn't been in an Argo uniform since 2013. He's been bounced around the NFL a little bit, and you know, he's going to give it another shot. And you know, always liked him, so hoping the best.
Well, you're right. He has. Well, last I heard, he was part of the Colts. Last I heard.
Yep.
But apparently, in 2020, he was part of the name Redacteds. So
yes, he did play for the name Redacteds.
I think he played for the Chargers at one point.
Yeah. He started his NFL stint in San Diego.
I think he had like 800 yard.
Yeah, that was his best. Yeah, 2016 was his best season with them. Yeah, 810 yards receiving, 4 touchdown catches, 14 yard average. Longest was 57. Played the whole season, so.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like football. I'm excited to see what he can bring. See what he's got left.
Mm-hmm. But Football Reference doesn't put CFL stats in there. Boo.
No. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we've covered, but like, I was just shocked they were able to keep. They were able to keep more or less this the running back group together.
Yeah, some people did express a bit of surprise over that, but.
I'm surprised. I think on our last show, I didn't see the Argos keeping both of them.
I think what's evidently maybe shipped out is the Argos probably had a bit of extra money because of McLeod going to the USFL.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure Chad Kelly has the best possible surrounding cast for him to go into the next season. And some of the receivers, I think, I'm wondering if the Argos weren't maybe targeting one of the receivers who ended up signing elsewhere. But mind you, they did. I mean, the weird thing about the Harris signing, though, was we knew about it like before free agency, but it took them a month to actually announce it.
Yeah, I mean, to put it together officially.
Yeah, but I do see the logic in re-signing both of them.
Hail Hydra.
Yeah, maybe they think Adam Aboye needs another year of growth.
Yeah, and Andrew Harris has said this is his last year.
Yeah.
So and he's going. He's after this year. He's going back to the junior ranks in the Nanaimo Raiders. They're Nanaimo Junior Raiders.
As a coach.
As a coach. Yes.
I think that'd be kind of weird if he lines up under
out of the Canadian Junior League.
That'd be kind of weird to see him just start plowing through. It's like, oh, well, we got the most dominant team in the CJFL. I wonder why.
That would be kind of like going down to the U.S. colleges and seeing the 40-year-old on the random the random football roster.
He's here for a post-grad program. Okay.
Wasn't there a movie, Scott Bakula, with that exact plot?
Wasn't that, that was unnecessary roughness. Yeah,
it's Sinbad and Cindy Crawford in it too, I think.
I think I've seen the movie once.
Yeah, I saw it once and I know of it, but I barely remember it.
It was not great. It was a parody one anyway, so. Mm. Going back to the free agent stuff, the Argos also brought in a couple guys to help push Chad Kelly and Cameron Holmes. Dukes and Brian Scott. Brian Scott, who's been the MVP of a couple spring leagues down south. And we also picked up David Ungerer.
Yeah, that's another intriguing signing.
He's coming for a ring.
They all do.
Mm. Yeah. That's all I gotta say. He's coming for a ring.
I'm actually quite pleased with what the Argos are doing. I think you said it well. They've cleared up some cap space by McLeod Bethel Thompson electing to go down south, because I mean that would have been, you're probably looking at least 400 grand off your salary cap there. And you've still got Chad Kelly on his the quote unquote rookie deal. So they've done some nice things to surround Chad Kelly with the pieces to give him all the tools he needs to succeed.
Which I think he will.
Mm.
To be perfectly clear, I know there is some consternation amongst Argo fans about going to the season with Kelly at number one, but I'm optimistic.
Yeah, well, yeah, de facto number one anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, you can't. I know it was a bit of a smaller sample size, but you can't ignore what he did in that Grey Cup game.
No,
I mean, hell's...
and. Just watching Chad Kelly throughout the year, when he's got his spots, he has all the tools. He really does. It's just been a little bit of inconsistency, a little bit of immaturity off the field, and I think at least based on what I've seen him present outwardly. He seems to have cleaned a lot of that up. Now, is he fully matured into exactly what you'd want for a quarterback? Probably not yet. But until you give the guy the reins, you're really not going to see that maturity that everybody wants to see right out of the gate. You never do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know there was some people last season who were clamoring for him to come in. Well, this season, you got your wish.
Yeah, but the same people who are nervous now, are they the same people who were clamoring for him to come in last year? Who knows?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Without going too much into face bitch,
Oh, don't make me go there. Don't make me go there. I'm not in the mood today.
No, we're not going to face.
I'm not in the mood to debase myself to go into that hellhole. Thank you very much.
No. We do have some other CFL news to talk about, but I know, Will, you wanted to get into some past Argos free agency stuff.
Well, more draft-related stuff.
Okay.
So I can actually preface this. Marshall Ferguson actually gave a good introduction to this the other day. He looked at the last 6 years of CFL draft picks for each team and determined that the Argos had 47.8% of their draft picks of the last 6 years still on the roster, which was first in the CFL. So, you know, it's good to be number one on that list because it shows Vince Magri, Pinball, Barker, you know, have all done a good job at Alex Russell, have all done a good job at identifying, drafting, and the coaching staff has done a good job of developing that talent. But there was a time where the Argos took the Cliff Fletcher quote of draft schmaff to heart. Basically, between the years 1987 and 1994 inclusive, the Argos only drafted in the first round once, which, you know, did not, and which, in their defense, the Argos didn't necessarily end up with a shortage of Canadian talent at the time, but still, and you sort of look back at the history and look, you know, is it worth it? I mean, during the 1986 season, they traded their first round pick to BC for a QB named Tim Cowan. Connor Holloway was banged up and they were looking for depth. And this Cowan guy only completed 20 of 48 passes for 300 yards with 2 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and was gone by the 1987 season. Not really worth it, is it?
No.
Arguated their first round selection in the 1988 draft to the Lions in exchange for Darnell Clash, who I guess was a good kick returner, punt returner, all right, DB. But again, he only stayed with the Argos for 1 year and was gone by 1988 out of the league. The Argos traded their 1989 draft pick to BC for a linebacker named Tony Visco, who only stayed with the Argos for a couple of years and then went back to BC as part of the Matt Dunnigan trade. In 1990, the Argos actually had their first round draft pick and drafted Jock Climie from Queens. You know, he would have a productive CFL career, but not much of it with the Argos. 1991, the Argos traded their draft pick to Saskatchewan for Kevin Smelly, who didn't want to play in Saskatchewan. Take that, Clay. the Argos didn't really run the ball a whole lot in that time, so Smelly really didn't get much feature. The Argos traded their 1992 first-round pick for David Williams, who probably worth it. He's a Hall of Famer and made that receiving core uber dangerous. The Argos were stripped of their 1993 first-round pick because they violated the salary cap. Go figure.
Wait. You mean signing a player for $6 million broke the salary cap?
Apparently.
No.
But before people start throwing a glass house, the Ticats were also above the cap that year.
Get it up, you.
What else? The Argos traded their first round pick in the 94 draft to the Lions for a lineman named Steve Rodahuskers.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, well,
what's this about Rutabagas?
So the Argos, I mean, they go ahead.
What's this about Rutabagas?
No. So the Argos, I mean, they let's say the Argos the importance the Argos have placed on the CFL entry draft has become a lot more better the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't wait to see what they do this year. I mean, you said like 46% of our draft picks are still on the roster from the last 6 years. That's kind of huge.
Yep. Next team was like 35%.
Yeah. And then you do have a handful of our draft picks that are still in the league, you know, floating around in various cities across Canada.
Yeah, and we'll point out though the Argos did trade their first round pick to BC for Jordan Williams, but again he's a number one overall pick from a couple years ago, so. Bit of a trade-off there.
Yep. Shifting gears, the other thing that happens, you know, we have that draft coming up in May, I believe. Is it May or is it April?
Well, it's usually they do it after the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's like the week after the NFL draft or something like that. So that's coming up then. But the other thing that we get notice of in the offseason is the upcoming Canadian Football Hall of Fame class.
Hmm.
And
do we have a grind our gears moment on this one?
Kind of.
Because I know the selection kind of grinded your gears a little bit there, Will.
It did.
Anyway, sorry, Clay. Continue.
Well, I'm, you know, we're just looking at it, and, you know, we've got Chris Schultz being inducted into the media wing.
Yeah.
For all of his time doing that, and we've also Solomon Elamimian is going in. Geez, why can't I remember all of a sudden?
Josh Bork
had a cup Larry of coffee Crawford. Here. Yep.
Bunch of other dudes.
Wow.
There was a couple coaches going in as well. Maybe if the CFL website made it easier. Okay. Of course, they just write individual articles about all these people. Like, just give me a bloody list. Yeah, Solomon.
John
Bowman.
Yeah.
Obviously deserving.
And then
we got Larry Crawford going in.
Yep.
Lloyd Fairbanks.
Somebody from that 80s Lions secondary needed to go in.
And then you've got
Larry Smith going in.
Larry Smith, Jacques Dussault.
Oui.
Who I didn't know this, but actually coached in the World Football League for the Montreal Machine as well.
Yeah, I find it funny that the picture they use of him is from his time at the Machine.
And then we've also got Vicky Hall, who used to be a beat reporter in Regina, and Calgary, and I believe a couple other places. The lead producer for the CFL and TSN, John Hines, who did more than 800 CFL telecasts, including 14 Grey Cups. He started covering the CFL in 1994, and didn't stop until he retired.
I'm going to go blow my nose.
There's actually another little bit of news that that happened. It happened pretty quickly. We all knew there was some unrest in Montreal. And that the current ownership group was
they kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
When half of the group died.
Yep. And so the CFL officially took over control of the Alouettes, and very quickly, I think within like a week, had them sold to Videotron head, so the Quebec station in the Quebec version of Rogers. It's a Pierre Carl Pelladeau is your new owner of the Montreal Alouettes.
Now that to me is one hell of a wrinkle come TV contract renewal time.
Yeah. I mean, at least on the French side.
Yeah.
Because he would be in direct competition with RDS.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the way they structured the contract, I could be wrong, but I thought that they had separate English and French rights deals.
I have no idea. That's beyond my knowledge.
But hey, you know what? If they don't, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Pelladeau will probably make it so in the coming years, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
and you know what?
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and the last thing, officially the 2025 Grey Cup is going to Winnipeg.
Yeah. Great, so people can freeze their asses off again. Nice.
Yep. And as Will put it, that will be the site of Toronto's fourth Grey Cup in a row.
Yeah. Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, we're coming for that dynasty.
Yep. We get to win one this year in Hamilton.
BC.
And Winnipeg.
Yep.
Well, at least now I got my at least I got 1 week of vacation set aside for the next 3 years. Now it's just a matter of everything else.
Now, do we have anything for the 3-minute warning, Doug?
Well, hold on. Before we go to that,
oh,
let's talk about the Schultze for a second. I know that he's going in at the media wing. Personally, I think I know this is what grinded Will's gears. It kind of grinds mine too, and I'm pretty sure it does. It's going to for you as well. He should be in the player wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem is, you know, we've just recently started running stats that show how good an offensive lineman is. In Schultz's era and before, you were really looking at the eye test and stuff that may not necessarily relate to all the individual players in the line. It was more looked at as a whole.
Yeah.
And I would love for somebody who knows how to track these things, like Marshall Ferguson, to go back and, you know, take a look at some of these guys and figure out, because I mean, now we're looking at, okay, you know, offensive lineman X led up or was beaten X amount of times that resulted in a sack or pass knockdown or something like that. You know, they have those stats now. It'd be nice to kind of go back and see what some of these people would have had with those stats and how much more we would have looked at as them as, you know, dominant offensive linemen. And just based on my recollection, I believe Chris Schultz was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got stuck a bit behind Chris Walby, I think, too, once the Bombers moved to the East.
Even so, I still think, yeah, because they never really tracked the stats of offensive linemen back then. But now it's like even in Madden, right? You take a look, it's like they have a stat called pancake blocks. I know, I have no idea what that is, but okay. But I mean, but it's like, yeah, it's like I mean, here's a guy who was a 2-time CFL All-Star and a 3-time CFL East Division All-Star, as well as a 91 Grey Cup champion. To me, that's Hall worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Considering he was part of the one of the most thankless jobs on a football team, at least in the public's eyes.
Yeah, well, especially you see, I mean, he was a guard.
Yeah.
Like, you're not seeing a lot of those guys being recognized for really anything outside of, you know, very tight football circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a tackle? Yes. That's very, you can very easily go, yeah, that guy's good, that guy's not good, that guy's really good. Holy crap, that guy's amazing. But as a guard, you're doing so much stuff that you're right in the middle of it all. And the only time a guard gets recognized is when you see him pulling and hitting some guy out on the edge to break open a sweep run. But how many times is you know, Chris Schultz or you know, anybody else taking on, you know, a defensive lineman and pushed him back into a linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it kind of grinded my gears a little bit, I guess.
It did.
I didn't realize it did, but it did.
There you go.
Well, the other one, too, is what will it take to get Darrell K. Smith into the Hall of Fame?
That was the other one that I remember there was another one that was grinding your gears a little bit. Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, I agree. He should go in. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, wasn't there a stat line that you put out there on Twitter that put him right in the mix with guys who are already inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, David Williams was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and you looked at Smith's stats and they compare pretty favorably. Williams did have more receiving touchdowns over the years, which, you know, could have been the edge, but really, I don't see why he isn't there, along with guys like Craig Ellis and Gerald Alfin and even Stephon Jones. guys still there?
Yeah, we're still processing.
I've got nothing else to add to what you said. I mean, it was, you know, Darryl K. Smith, if you look at the eye test, you look at this guy was exactly what you want in a Hall of Fame receiver. And he went out there and did it day in and day out. Yeah, he didn't get the touchdowns, but every other stat that you would put out there, you know, put him on par with multiple wide receivers that are already in the Hall.
And I mean, you take a look. I mean, five-time East All-Star, consecutive years from 87 to 91, Grey Cup champion in 91, two-time CFL All-Star.
20 touchdown season.
Exactly.
I mean, there are people with fewer accolades to their name in the Hall.
You've got me convinced, Will. I think I'm going to start up a change.org position. Get Darryl K. Smith in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame.
Do it.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Me being the chief engineer of the Argo subreddit, I had to reset everything from last year. And I had to change up the East Division standings just a tweak. So, on top are the champs, which is us. Then you've got the flying losers. Then you got the plaid-wearing losers. And then you just have fucking Lull. Who are minus 1999 points. Automatically. So...
yeah,
I like working on the subreddit sometimes.
The other bit of news that is not necessarily CFL related, but fits into the 3 minute warning here. We've previously talked about the experienced Regina tourism parody that came out in the 90s. Well, that's not a parody anymore. Tourism Regina rebranded to Experience Regina. They redid the song with a local rock band, a local rapper, and a local DJ. And they didn't stop there. They have a campaign that they're partnering with various social media influencers in the province of Saskatchewan called Show Me Your Regina.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
Piffles.
It gets Piffles worse.
Piffles ain't biting.
They've also got merch that's coming out.
Oh, no.
With a nice little tagline of the city that rhymes with fun.
So they're just fully embracing the meme now. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
They're fully embracing the meme because we're all a bunch of children. That's what it is. They're embracing the meme because we're all a bunch of immature children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Fuck it.
Wow. It's not necessarily CFL related, but I needed to kind of put that out there because that needed to be said. And this happened on Friday. They launched this rebrand.
Mm.
And to be honest, I thought it was I when I first saw it, I'm like, no, this can't be real. No, it is their legitimate account that's rebranded Experience Regina, and these merch sweaters that they've got that are in partnership with 22 Fresh, which is one of their big brands out there. It is all legit. I'm at a loss for words. I guess Experience Regina.
Do 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 do.
Oh, wow!
That was that.
You can visit the Plains Museum.
Yeah. And the video they put out is actually a lot better than the old video, just in production value-wise.
You mean doesn't have a split second image of the female anatomy?
No, it does not.
Good.
And I think with that being said, I think that is a good way to end the show.
I would say so.
I don't know where you all go from here.
Yeah, we can't go anywhere from here. We're done.
We want to thank.
We went from a Cloud Bethel Thompson to Experience Regina. Yeah, that's kind of on brand for us, isn't it?
Well, he experienced Regina and won.
Yes, he did.
That he did. You're trying not to laugh, Clay. I can tell.
I'm just at a loss for words on why they would do that, why they would actually do that. But the fact they had the balls to do that. All right. That does it for the show. We want to thank huge thanks to McLeod Bethel Thompson. As you put it, Doug, we got to start thinking about a road trip down to Ford Field to see his New Orleans Breakers play on May 21st, I believe it was.
Yep, 2-4 weekend.
All right, we're throwing it out there. Anybody who wants to go, let us know. And, we'll figure some things out. Because I think it needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter. Well, it's still not on fire at DougB519. You can also find the Double Blue Order. You can find them on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And we still have merch available. And the law firm t-shirt is going to be available for Breakers fans at doubleblueorder.ca.
Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. We are powered by Spotify for Podcasters, and you can find us directly at anchor.fm/ArgosFancast. That does it for a big week at the Argos Fancast. We'll talk to you when we got some more Argos news. Cheers, everyone.